and a very good Monday morning to you, Marlins Nation. Thanks for winding with us, Steven Strom here. Marlins fall to the Washington Nationals 12-9. They led 7-0 at one point in the ball game. Just an unthinkable loss and a really tough one to swallow for all of us here in Miami. As always, for the recap, here's your radio voice of the Miami Marlins, Kyle Seeloff.
Another really rough day at the ballpark for the Marlins, who lose to the Washington Nationals by a final score of 12-9. The Nationals have won the first three games in this series, and they do it today when they were down 7-0 after two innings of play. The Marlins this season have now lost three games in which they've led after the first inning 6-0, 5-0, and 4-0. You're listening to the 10th Inning Show, brought to you by Warner, Hoffman, Gregg, and Garcia, your trusted workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers. Rod Allen is back with me now, and Rod, how would you sum this one up today, partner?
Well, a little disappointing. I mean, the fact that you take a 7-run lead in the first couple of frames of today's game, and you would think that any day that the Nationals would kind of roll over and just, you know, kind of go through the motions today would be the day, but they don't have that kind of team. They don't have that kind of manager, and they just continue to battle back until they were able to get close enough to where they believed again, and once they got close enough to believe, they felt like they could win this game. Weathers was not good today. Unfortunately, in his last couple of outings, once against the San Francisco Giants, the other against the Atlanta Braves, a couple of pretty good teams, but he pitched well in those games. But today, with a big lead, he just did not get it done. And a lot of times, Kyle's young pitchers, when you give them big leads, they just don't pitch the same way they pitch if it's a close game.
After trailing 7-0, the Nationals' 12-9 victory today marked the largest comeback win since July 5th of 2018, when they were down 9-0 to the Miami Marlins. Game four comes your way tomorrow night at 6:40, and Rod, I'll see you then.
All right, buddy. See you later.
That's Rod Allen. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Highlights from this ballgame. It was eventful this afternoon. Patrick Corbin went opposite of Ryan Weathers, who tossed a perfect top of the first inning, and things quickly unraveled on the Nationals in the bottom of the first. After back-to-back singles by Luis Arraez and Brian De La Cruz, C.J. Abrams committed a costly error on what would have been a tailor-made 6-4-3 double play ball. He bobbled it. The bases were loaded, and Jazz Chisholm Jr. was at the plate.
Chisholm with a drive, high in the air, deep left field. Winker's on the run. Everybody's looking up. It's gone! It hit the top of the wall in left center field. Chisholm, another grand slam. His second of the season. It's 4-0 Miami.
And after a strikeout of Anderson and a line out by Rivera, Dane Myers tripled in his first at bat of the season, and then it was Vidal Brujan's turn to enter into the fun.
2-2, that is lined towards the gap, right center field. That's going to get down for a base hit, and Chase Call all the way to the wall. Brujan might have another triple. Hits the bag at second. There he goes. He's flying. He's got it. Back-to-back triples. It's 5-0 Miami.
And the sixth run of the bottom of the first inning came courtesy of the next batter, the ninth man to hit, Nick Fortes.
He swings and he hits it back up the middle. That's a base hit. This is a six-run bottom of the first inning for the Marlins, who've hit around.
And Patrick Corbin was stung over the course of four innings this afternoon, but he did not pitch nearly as bad as his line would indicate. In the bottom of the second inning, there were two aboard, there were two outs, and Emmanuel Rivera was at the dish.
Here's a shot, and that sneaks by Meneses at first, rolling slowly down the right field line. De La Cruz scores. Chisholm stops at third. That is going to be a run-scoring double if they do give Rivera a hit. A run scores. It's 7-0 Miami.
It would stay that way until the top of the fourth inning. There was a single and a walk, a fly out to right, and then Jacob Young was the batter with two aboard.
The 0-1 swung on and lined fair past Brujan. This is going to roll all the way into the corner down the left field line. On his way to third is Call. He'll stop there. That's an RBI double for Jacob Young. Now this is a 7-1 game, and the Nationals threatening for more here in the fourth.
But the Marlins at that point still very much in command of the ballgame until the next man, C.J. Abrams, came to the plate.
Here's a swing and a fly ball. This is hit deep to right field. Going back, Myers over his head, and it'll one-hop the wall. Abrams with a double. That'll play two. Now it's 7-3.
And the next man to bat, putting the finishing touches on a 5-run fourth inning, was Nick Senzel, and this was just the beginning of what was an amazing day for him at the plate.
The 0-1 swung on, hit in the air. This is deep to right center field. Chisholm's on the run, looking up, and this is gone! Nick Senzel a two-run bomb. The Nationals have played it five here in the top of the fourth, and all of the sudden it's 7-5.
It would stay that way ever so briefly. After the second inning for the Marlins, they would not get another hit until the sixth. So it was 7-5 Miami going to the top of the fifth inning that begun in the fifth with Trey Lipscomb at the plate. He was hit by a pitch to begin the fifth. Alex Call singled. And then with Anthony Bender in the ballgame, he struck out Adams, but he came on to face Call, who singled. So Ryan Weathers had the hit-by-pitch there in the fifth inning, and then Bender came in. But Call singled, Adams struck out swinging, and then the inning was just getting started, Bender facing Young. That is banged on a line into right field, the base hit, rounding third, coming home is Lipscomb. Now the bobble in right field by Dane Myers is going to allow Call to go from second to third. That's going to be an RBI single for Young and an E9. That's the second error of the day committed by the Marlins. It was 7-6. In two batters later, Nick Senzel would put the Nationals ahead for good today. There's a swing and a fly ball hit high and deep left field. Oh, my goodness, this is trouble. This is way back, and this is gone.
You got to be kidding me.
A 7-0 Marlins lead has evaporated. Senzel's hit another. This is a three-run jack, and the Nationals down 7-0, lead 9-7 here in the top of the fifth inning. Ryan Weathers went four innings, allowed six runs, all earned, five hits, three walks, three strikeouts. Anthony Bender, a disastrous fifth inning. He went an inning and allowed three runs on three hits with two strikeouts. It was 9-7 Washington. They would get another run in the sixth inning off of Birch Smith, and this one would score on a stolen base. Here comes the 1-1. There goes the runner from first. Here's a throw all the way down to second. No play there. Now a throw to the plate. Not in time. That's a double steal for the Washington Nationals. It's 10-7. That was with Vargas at third and Lipscomb at first base with Alex Call at the plate. So that was the 10th run of the ballgame for the Washington Nationals. They led 10-7. It would stay that way until the bottom of the seventh inning. And in the ballgame, in the bottom of the seventh, Derek Law actually tossed the fifth. And he went 5-6. Jordan Weems came on in the seventh. He walked Jazz, and then Tim Anderson was at the plate trying to make this a bit of a closer ball game here. And that is hit on a line. Right field sinking fast. That is down. A fair ball rolling into the corner. Chisholm is going to come around towards the plate. That's an RBI double. Chisholm scores for Tim Anderson. It's 10-8. So it was 10-8, and then after a flyout by Nick Gordon pinch hitting, the pinch hitter was Jesus Sanchez hitting for Dane Myers. He's been hitting the ball hard. 2-1 is hit hard, and that is going to sneak through the right side to base hit. Anderson rounds third, coming towards the plate. No throw. An RBI single for Jesus Sanchez. This is a 10-9 game. And it would stay that way momentarily until Brian Hoeing gave up two runs in the top of the eighth inning. And the Nationals hang on to win this by a final score of 12-9 this afternoon. They've won the first three games in this series. Totals today for the Nationals, 12 runs, 14 hits, an error, and 10 men left on base. For the Miami Marlins, 9 runs, 12 hits, 2 errors, 7 men left on. Derek Law, the winner, he's 2-1. Anthony Bender, the loser, he's 0-2. Kyle Finnegan, his 9th save of the season. Total time of game, 3 hours and 17 minutes, 15,894 in attendance this afternoon. On the mound for the Marlins today, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 strikeouts. That means that $225 will be donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative.
All right, Kyle, thank you. Let's head down and listen to what Skip Schumacher had to say, get his reaction after the loss.
Skip, a game like this and really a season like this, when it seems like it's not one thing, it's another. Just what's the level of frustration after being up 7-0 going into the third?
Yeah, I wouldn't say season yet. It's a month in, but still tough. No doubt. You're up 7-0. You feel pretty good about it with Ryan out there. Generally a strike thrower, and he got ahead. A lot of strikes. Just had trouble putting him away. Three walks, three hit by pitches. I think six free passes. Obviously, is not ideal. And then we didn't play real clean baseball behind him either. But I think majority of it was some you know, hit by pitches that were kind of uncharacteristic of him, and some walks. But I think, you know, again, I thought this getting ahead of the guys was good. He just had trouble putting them away tonight or today. But yeah, that's a tough one. When you feel really good at, you know, after the second inning, I think up 7-0, and the guys took up really good at bats up and down the lineup. I mean, that continued. I thought also, you know, all through nine that, you know, we had some good at bats, some hard hit outs, you know, some base running mistake definitely. But I think overall offensively was a really good day. Just tough on the other side.
For Weathers, he had mentioned last time out after I think it was the fourth inning, he was dealing with some mechanical issues that he needed to correct going to the fifth. This is when he was with Atlanta. Was it a mechanical issue today, did you see?
I mean, I would guess so. Went four innings, three walks, three hit by pitches. So, I would guess so. You know, I've been obviously discussed that with him after four innings. You always have the discussion the next day about that kind of stuff. So you could tell he was fighting something. Just because of the kind of the put away stuff that he's used to. But, you know, I don't know. We'll have to find out, you know, after we look at the video tomorrow.
Once again, Bender, just some of the struggles. What are you seeing from
him on the mound? He's had, you know, feels like every ball that's in play is a hit right now. Thought the stuff actually looked pretty good as far as, like, you know, the strikeout to Abrams. It kind of just shows you what his stuff can do and play as. You know, we'll have to take a look at the video also. I don't know if there's, you know, tipping involved, something that we're missing. Obviously, you know, I'm missing something. We're missing something because the stuff is too good for it to be hit like that. You know, he didn't walk anybody today, struck out a couple guys, but, you know, I felt like the stuff was okay. Just, you know, obviously the results are the results. I mean, that's just what they are. So we got to figure out how to get him back, because his stuff is good enough to be on the back end of the bullpen, not like in the fifth inning. So we got to figure out what it is to get him right.
The Fortes pass ball, the second one that Hoeing threw that was eventually reviewed, it looked like there was maybe a disconnect in the signs there. Was it something that you maybe noticed that came up? I don't know. Did it just kind of look like he kind of got crossed up in Hoeing?
The first one or the second one?
The pitch that was then reviewed, the pass ball that scored.
That bounced like 3 feet in front to the right, right?
Okay, just the way it looked like it.
Okay, the first one, I think, you know, was right, you know, maybe off his glove a little bit. The second one bounced and kicked off way to the right. I think it was a split or a slider that bounced and kicked high and then went. I mean, if you're blocking that one, Fortes can block. He's one of the best catchers in the league. If he can't block that, I mean, no one can block that one. So that's not on him. Maybe flipping that one, obviously, you know, would, you know, hindsight always, but he made a really good attempt to try to get him out at home plate, but Hoeing might have been there. So maybe that was, I could, you know, you could argue that, even though I don't know if that's even, you know, if that would have resulted in the out or not, but that's a tough block, so I'm not putting that on Fortes at all.
And then Dane today, first game, obviously, since being recalled, what did you see from him? That you, like, obviously hit the triple, looked pretty good in right field. Anything in particular that stood out to you?
Yeah, Dane's a good player. I mean, I'm happy he's up. He deserved the call up. He had a really nice last couple weeks down in AAA. You know, tough start to the season in AAA. But he's really turned it on the last, you know, couple weeks. You know, made the error in right field today. But other than that, was you know, I think Dane's going to be a really good player for a long time, and I'm excited that he's up because he deserved to get called up. And it's not just a call up to have a call up; like, he's going to play. So we just you know, he's brought a lot of energy last year, and I anticipate the same thing happening this year.
Another four stolen bases for the Nationals today. I think it's eight in the series. What do you guys need to do to control the run game?
Well, the Nationals steal bases, so it's not just on us. Like, that's a good team. The young call, Abrams, those guys can steal. So they're going to steal against anybody. I've said this before. There's only a certain amount of guys that can steal when the entire stadium knows they can steal and still be safe. And they have a couple of those guys. There are a couple guys that you know, need to clean up the times to the plate, you know, but I think majority of it is, you know, the double steal. We had the play on to redirect, just couldn't get him. But, you know, we had an idea that was going to happen, put the play on, didn't work out. But yeah, I mean, they got some guys that can run. I mean, it's not the second tier that are stealing bases on them. I mean, those guys are, they've been running and they're going to continue to run.
A little bit of roster turnover. It's coaching staff pretty much the same. What's different maybe last year from this year?
A little.
Just in terms of, it seems like a lot of guys are back. Obviously, you guys are back mostly as coaching staff. What do you think has been the difference in the results?
I'm trying to understand
just
the question.
First month, just how it's gone compared to, let's say, last year when things were going so right. Is there anything that, whether it's mentally, maybe behind the scenes, is it just, you know, obviously the effort seems to be there. Just why do you think maybe the execution or stuff is?
I think that there's a lot of differences from last year to this year, but I think, you know, obviously, you know, as a staff, we got to figure out how to get our current roster better. I'm not going to think about last year. Every year is different. Every roster is different. This is a different roster. Their whole rotation is different. So the whole bullpen is different. So I think there's a bunch of different guys that are here, but that's no excuse for us. Like, this is the coaching staff. I'm obviously the manager has to figure this out. The record is the record. And, you know, until we figure it out, I mean, I put a lot of the blame on me because I haven't figured it out, obviously. We are, 6-23? So that's our record. And I have to figure it out because, you know, I don't like losing. I hate losing. I know a lot of those guys have won before. I feel like, you know, a lot of it's on me.
How difficult it's been, or it is, to collectively work in moments like this and on the mental aspect to keep the guys together and obviously motivated to go every day.
There's no difference. I expect to win every day. I come in here, expect to win every day. It's a new day every single day. The only way to go is to move forward. That is how I've always gone about it. When I was a player, I did that. When I was a coach, and now as a manager, like, I prepared to win today. So we haven't done that this season. And so, you know, we have to try to change things up. We changed multiple things up today. I'm not going to tell you what we did, but obviously that didn't work either. So we have to keep finding ways, because if you do the same thing over and over again, that's torture, right? If you're losing and doing the same thing over and over again. So tonight, figure out something new to do tomorrow, and hopefully that works.
Ryan Weathers went 4 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs, 3 punch-outs, really struggled. After the first, honestly, and second inning, a lot of control issues. Weathers hit 3 batters. Let's hear what he had to say after the outing.
Given what the offense was able to do for you early.
I mean, obviously, you know, after the first inning, you know, going out there and being on the hunt and, like, punching the guys out, 2 guys out quick and going 9 pitches. And then after that, I don't know kind of what happened there. You know, threw up a 0 after a big inning, threw up another 0, and we were up 7-0. And then, you know, they just put together, you know, several good ABs, and it was just like I couldn't get out of ABs. I remember after the 12th pitch, AB to call, you know, I felt a little gassed out there. Just, you know, he had a hell of an AB. I mean, it was just nothing, you know, just in the fourth thing right there, they just kicked my tail. I mean, there was nothing more. I didn't feel like I was making bad pitches. You know, it was just one of those days they just kicked my tail.
Anything you could, in particular, you can attribute the lack of command to with the 3 hit-by-pitches and walks?
You know, it wasn't losing focus. I think it was just, you know, trying to do more than, you know, first thing I felt nice and easy, and then second inning I still felt I was making good pitches, you know, then just for some reason trying to do more than what I should have done.
In that at bat with call, I think it was a 12th pitch at bat, did that affect you, like,
anything? You know, I think any time like that, you know, after having a long sit and then also having a long AB, you know, just a little bit gas, you know, just from the, you know, long time down. But like I said, he put together a great AB. And then escape that jam, and then got out of the jam in the third, you know, in the fourth, you know, there was a lot of that game, you know, that kind of fell on my shoulders just with, you know, not, you know, producing a 0 that any, you know, even at that point, you know, giving up 2 runs is better than obviously what, you know, happened, and, you know, just got to stop the bleeding in that inning.
Is sitting a long time kind of that double-edged sword of getting that early run support?
You know, no, I mean, anytime you can get run support like that, you know, you got to go win a ball game. Bottom line is I didn't make enough good pitches today, and, you know, they got me in the fourth. You know, just got to be better in the zone.
Right back at it. It's a 6:40 first pitch. It'll be Trevor Rogers who will go opposite Jake Irvin. The Marlins looking to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Washington Nationals. I've got Marlins on deck at 6:10. Again, 6:40 first pitch. We hope you can join us on the Marlins Radio Network driven by AutoNation.